That was for Micah, just because I had to. Oh. I'm gonna try. Listen, hey. Listen. I'm gonna need your attention in a hurry today, because we're short on time today, and I know you want me to preach through next hour, but I probably won't. So I do need you to pay attention and listen up, but I want you to know something before I start, and that is this. I say it sometimes when I'm up here for announcements, but I want you to know how much I love you guys. That really is the heart of where this message is coming from. And there's been something that just probably the last 6 months that the Lord has really put on my heart, and he showed it to me in a lot of different ways this summer when I was traveling on tour for a little bit with the tour group, and just I feel like we're missing something, and I feel like a lot of people in this room are missing something, and I want to help you if I can. And it's not anything that's new with me, it's the Bible. And that is this, really, and you say, Brother King, I know this already, and I believe that you do, but young people, God has a plan for your life. And it's not just a plan of, okay, here's this person, here's what they have, let me try to figure out what I can do with it. It is a plan that God had before he ever created you. He created you, each and every one of you, individually for a specific purpose. My dad, you got to hear my dad preach a couple weeks ago, and I was not able to be here. And I was at a doctor's appointment in Chicago, and I would have loved to have been here. I did go back and listen to the message online. I love my dad. He's my hero. I think the world of my dad. And for a lot of reasons, I'm very blessed with the dad that I have. But my dad, about 6 months ago, he does woodworking. And I don't know if you saw a couple of you commented after you heard him preach, like, Brother King, your dad has huge hands. And he does. If you've ever I have decent-sized hands, and I can't, like, fit my hand around my dad's hand. He's got huge hands. And he grew up on a farm, and I grew up on a farm, and Dad's a farmer, but Dad loves woodworking. And about probably 6 months ago, he decided to do a project. And he was going to make, and this might seem like something simple to you, he was going to make some step stools. Years ago, a bunch of us sons and son-in-laws all got together over Thanksgiving and helped Dad cut out a bunch of pieces and stuff, and he made, I think, 8 of these step stools. It's just a wooden stool that's, you know, 10 inches tall. All the girls use it for getting up in the cabinets in their kitchens and stuff. My wife and sister-in-laws and sisters all have one, and they love them in their kitchens, and they're cool. Well, now, since then, that was years ago, and now we've got a bunch of more of grandkids that are married and all those other things. And so Dad decided months ago that he was going to make, been a bunch of them, the next generation kind of, and cousins and things that have said, oh, I would love to have one of those. So he said, I'm going to make some for all these people. Well, then he started adding up how many people that is, and he ended up making 47 of these step stools. But each and every one of them, Dad is not one of those, he doesn't like using plywood and things. Everything he makes is out of solid hardwoods. And there's a lot of different, he doesn't do laminates and veneers and all those, and those things all have their places, but solid hardwood, and he likes to use what's called exotic hardwoods, in other words, things that aren't as common. And so he's got all kinds of different, and so these stools, he made some out of black walnut because that's his favorite wood. He made some out of birch and hickory and flame birch and bird's eye maple and all these different things. If you don't know anything about wood, you probably don't care. But to him, it's a big deal. But he started at the very beginning, and he had this plan, and he had this pattern that he had designed. And so then he went with each different type of wood and cut each and every piece to fit this pattern. All 47 of them are designed the same, but all these different woods and things, and so he had to make sure he had enough wood of each one and cut these all out and design them and all these things. And he's spent the last 6 months, he travels 50 weeks out of the year, but when he's home for a couple days here, a day two there, he would just be out in his garage working on these things 14, 16 hours a day, starting at 4 o'clock in the morning and just working on these things, hand sanding most of them and all these things. And he just finished them up last week. But with that, from the very beginning, he had a pattern and a plan and a vision of what each and every one of those stools was going to be at the end. And I could show you on my phone. He sent me through every step of the process. Here's pictures at this stage, and here they are at this stage, and here they are at this stage, and here's these pieces, and here's this. But all the whole time with this thought in mind of, I'm making something very specific. Now, 47 of them are designed exactly the same. But each and every piece was meant to fit together with another piece to create a specific work of art. And that is a little bit, on a much simpler level, how God works when it comes to you. You may say, I'm like everybody else, Brother King. We're the same. We're basically the same. Same basic ideas, whatever, all those sorts of things. But God has a very specific plan for your life. Your whole responsibility in life is to find God's plan for your life and do it. That's it. It really is that simple. Find God's plan for your life and do it. Part of why I say we're missing something is this. If I was to say to everybody in this room, how many of you know right now exactly what God's plan is for your life? And I'm not talking about 30 years from now. You might say, okay, Brother King, it's to be at Hiles Anderson College, and here I am. And that's good, okay? That's not a bad thing. But a lot of what happens in a room like this is there are a few, and usually my guess would be it's probably less than half of you, that have a very definite idea of you're fairly confident in what you believe God's plan is for you going out of this place, and you're working towards that goal. The rest of you, oftentimes what it is, well, I'm here because I want to serve God with my life, but I don't really know what it is, and so I'm just going to kind of do whatever, and if God finds, God's got my number, and if he calls me, I'll answer. In the meantime, I'm just going to kind of do whatever. I promise you right now, today, God's plan for you is not to just kind of do whatever. Your job today, not just over the course of the next 4 years, see if you can figure out what God wants for you. Your job for today, your only job for today, being here on earth, is to find out what God's plan is for you today and to do. A lot of Christian, well-meaning, good people, young people, say, well, if God calls me, I'll do what God calls me to do. I want to do what God calls me to do, but if he doesn't call me, then I'm going to do this. That's the wrong idea, because whatever this is, God has called you to do it. There are people, I believe this with all of my heart, there are people that God has called to be doctors. And if they decide to be a pastor instead of a doctor, they're not following God's plan for their life. There are people that God has called. How many of you believe that God has called Brother Jerry Oswardy to be a bus mechanic? Hey, I believe that with all of my heart. Now, Brother Jerry can do a lot of other things. He's very capable of doing a lot of other things. I met a young man this summer on tour. He's 19 years old, lives in Michigan. And I got there and I watched this young man, and he was playing the piano. He was the church pianist, 19 years old, a pretty decent pianist. I'm not a pianist at all, so he was phenomenal in my opinion, but he played well, played for the congregationals, all those things, and played, and I was pretty impressed. And I asked the pastor, hey, how long has he been taking lessons? And he said, he took lessons when he was 4 or 5, and then during COVID, we had lost our church pianist, and he had a lot of free time, and he told his parents, hey, look, we need a church pianist, and so I'm going to teach myself how to play the piano. Didn't take any lessons or anything, taught himself how to play the piano. He's the church pianist. And I was talking to him a little bit afterwards, 19 years old, talking to him about college and things, what his plans are for his life, what he believes that God has for him, and about college. And he said, Brother King, he said, I don't think that God wants me to go to Bible college. He said, I love working on buses. He said, I love Brother Jerry Oswardy and Brother Warren Storm. And he said, God has given me a heart for that. He said, I graduated high school. I put myself through diesel mechanic school. I'm a certified diesel mechanic. I work for the local bus company. I'm their bus mechanic. But he said, whenever I can, if Brother Storm's ever in the area, I go meet him and I'll help him working on whatever project he's working on. Or I'll go, he said a lot. I talked to Brother Storm after the fact about this. Brother Storm's like, any place within 2 hours of that kid, I don't get called to anymore because he just goes and fixes all of their buses for him. There's a young man, 19 years old, that is 100% confident that God's plan for his life is to be a bus mechanic and keep church buses on the road. Young people, God has a plan for your life. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture. Turn your Bibles with me quickly, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. It's kind of a long road to a small house, but a very important house. So I'm going to read a number of passages of Scripture. I'm going to try to get through them kind of quickly, make a few comments along the way, but ask you to kind of just pay attention and go with me on this journey. When we get to the end, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then I'm going to be done. Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is the Lord coming to Joshua and Moses, and the caption at the top of my Bible on this page says, God giveth a charge to Joshua and a song to testify against the people. His whole charge to Joshua is one verse. Look at verse number 23. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. That's it. He says, be strong and of a good courage. I have a plan, and I'm going to help you. That was his charge. By the way, young people, let me say this. That's the same as God's charge to you. Be strong and of a good courage. I have a plan for your life, and if you'll do it, I'll be with you and I'll help you. That's it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your goodness. God, I ask that you'd be with us in these next few minutes, that you would help me, that you would, Lord, add your blessing to your word and keep me out of the way. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The rest of that chapter, almost the entire rest of that chapter, or the next chapter, rather, I'm sorry, verse chapter 32, is God's song that he gives to Moses. We call it the Song of Moses, and he gives him all that. But Joshua, it's something very simple. He says, look, be strong and have courage. I have a plan. This is it, and I'm going to help you. If you jump over to Deuteronomy chapter 34, just a couple pages over, Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 9 says this, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. He says, look, he was full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses had laid his hands on Joshua, and God had filled Joshua with the spirit of wisdom because Joshua was yielded to God's direction in his life. Joshua was willing and available and open to what God had for him, and so God blessed him, the laying on of hands of Moses, and God was preparing. This is the verses right after. Moses has passed away, and now Joshua is going to be in charge. You get into Joshua chapter 1. If you may have to turn over a page, you might not. Look at verse number 5. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and following says this, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, and I'll stop there, he gives a command. You get the idea from Deuteronomy and now the beginning of Joshua that maybe Joshua was a little bit nervous about what God had and his plans for him. He had told him, this is what I have planned. And Joshua, over several times here in this chapter, and then, of course, when he said it to him in Deuteronomy, God said to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be stressed. I've got this. I'm going to help you. You cannot do it on your own, but you can do it with my help. And immediately after God finishes telling that to Joshua, it says in verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. He said, okay, God, I'm in. God said, you can do this. I'm going to trust you. I'm in. He goes to the leaders and says, all right, here's what we're going to do. And they do. And if you, again, I don't have to take the time. I've got to hustle to get through this. But if you read through the next several chapters, all the way up through chapter 11, what happens is Joshua does what God tells him to do, and God brings about great victories, with the exception, of course, of Ai, because he didn't go to God first, and Achan had sinned at Jericho. And because of that, there was a number of people that died at Ai. Joshua went to the Lord then afterward and said, what in the world is going on? God said, there's sin in the camp. He dealt with that, then went to the Lord, said, okay, what do you want us to do? And one of the things that is important to note is that Joshua continued in all these battles from chapter 2 on through chapter 11. You see that he goes to the Lord over and over again. What do you want me to do, and how do you want me to do it? And then as God brings about victories, what you see Joshua doing at each step of the way is you see him building an altar to the Lord, giving God praise and thanking God for what he has done and thanking God for the victory and continuing to keep God a priority as he walks through all of these great battles that God, and they had to fight battles. There was battles, and he needed God's strength, but he said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you. And he did. Turn over to Joshua chapter number 11 with me real quick. Joshua chapter 11. And this is important. I don't want you to miss this, young people. Verse number 15, it says, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. God told Moses, Moses told Joshua, and the Bible says every single detail. Everything that God told Moses, Moses told Joshua. It would have been a problem if Moses hadn't told Joshua. You understand that? It would have been a problem. But everything then that Moses told Joshua, Joshua did down to the smallest detail. He said he left nothing undone. Young people, so you've been raised in good churches. You have good pastors, many of you good parents. You come here, you have great teachers that teach you and a pastor here that will invest in you and love you and help you and tell you what God said. But we can't, pastor can't, your parents can't do it for you. It's up to you whether you will do everything that has been said to you, everything that has been told to you, everything that has been shared with you. The blessing that you have that the people in this day didn't. Joshua didn't have a King James Bible that he could just go to and read and be like, okay, what does God want from me? He did have the books of the law that Moses had written out. And it was, if you read the passages, you know, it tells us that he read them and studied them and he knew them and he wanted to obey God and that was his desire. But he gave specific direction to Joshua directly. God did, and then also through Moses. And it says, Joshua did everything. He left nothing undone. Let me challenge you as you go about, as you figure out what God's plan is for your life, and as you begin to pursue that and follow God's plan, don't miss the little things. Don't miss the little things. Well, yeah, okay, I'll take this, and that's good, and I'll do this, but all that other stuff, I'm not going to go there. I don't have time for that, or I don't think that's that important. Many people have forgotten the details, and that's why you see churches and families and homes going away from the things of God because of the details, because they leave the little things undone. Jump with me to Judges chapter number 2, Judges chapter 2. In Judges chapter 1, you find out that Joshua has died. He's off the scene now. And the people of Israel, the tribes of Israel, they've been given, the great battles have been fought. They've been given their areas to go to, but then they're supposed to drive the inhabitants, the Canaanites, they're supposed to drive them out completely. And you see over and over again in Judges chapter 1 that they didn't drive them completely out. They let some of them stay. They didn't obey completely. Remember back in Joshua when it said that he did everything, he left nothing undone? When he died, the people after him began to forget the little things. They left some things undone. Read with me in Judges chapter number 2, verse number 7. It says this, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount Ephraim, on the north of the side of Gaash, of the hill of Gaash." Verse 10, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim." The very next generation. The very next generation. Why? Because of the little details. Because of the little details. Joshua said, left nothing undone. But then when he died, people began to leave things undone. And what happened is the very next generation. That's one of the reasons you've heard preachers say many times, you know, pastor says, or Brother Hiles said, the life expectancy of a Bible college is about 40 years. Why? Because then they tend to begin to leave the little things undone. In one generation, every church, every ministry, every Bible college, every home is just one generation away from apostasy. It's not just that they started, it doesn't just say, well, they started to lower their standards. Their music standards dropped a little bit. Hey, their dress standards weren't quite what they used to be before, but they were still pretty decent. Hey, they still basically preached from the King James Bible, but they used or allowed other Bibles, other versions, whatever. That's not what it says. It says the very next generation began to worship Baal. The very next generation. Say, Brother King, and my guess would be just about everybody in this room would say, Brother King, not me. Brother King, not me. Why not you? How are you doing today on the details? Let me put it to you this way. Did you read your Bible this morning? Did you spend time in prayer this morning? Or in the last 24 hours, some people do it in the evening. For yourself, not because somebody else was having a group something, but for yourself. Do you know what you believe about this book? Do you know why this book is important to you? What are your personal standards of holiness? What are the biblical principles that govern your life? Turn with me one more passage of scripture. Over in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. As you're turning there back in Judges, if I had the time, I would have taken you to Judges. Verse number 19, that the rest of the chapter after it says they began to worship Baal, what you find out is, it's the Bible says that God raised up judges, and whenever there was a judge that God had raised up, the people did right. But then it says in verse 19, when God would raise up judge people to do right, it says, when the judge died, they began to do wrong. And then God would raise up a judge, and the people would do right. And then when the judge died, you know what that was? Whenever somebody was there, whenever your dorm staff is there, Brother Osgood's there, Brother Mitchell's there, your teacher's there, your pastor's there, your parents are there to tell you, don't do this, You do okay. And then when they're not there, guess what happens? Then we find out if it's real to you. Then we find out if those are your convictions, your standards, your principles, your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read several verses here real quick for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, starting verse number 10, the Bible says this. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into my place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And I don't want to take this out of context. I understand who he's talking to here. He's talking to the children of Israel through his prophet Jeremiah. And he's talking about the 70 years of captivity and he's going to lead them out. But I would say, I would venture to say, and there's plenty of other scriptures and we won't take the time today. There's plenty of other scriptures that say the same thing as it relates to you. And that is this, what he says in verses 11 and 13 especially. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has a plan for your life, young person. God has been thinking about you since before you were born and thinking about a plan for your life. And then he created you and gifted you and designed you to accomplish that specific plan. He gave you the gifts that he gave you. He gave you the home that he gave. All of those things with a plan in mind of this is what I'm going to try to accomplish in and through this person. Verse number 13 says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. We saw in Judges there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. Our theme this month at church is knowing God. What happened to those people? They didn't know God. They didn't know God. Why didn't they know God? Because of what you see in Jeremiah. They didn't search for God with all their heart. He says in several passages in the Bible, if you search for me, if you ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. God makes it very clear. If you know what God's plan is for your life, if you're fulfilling God's plan for your life now and in your future, it will be because you wanted to, because you chose to seek it, because you chose to fulfill it. It's up to us. It's our choice. But God has a plan for your life, young person. I'm going to ask you to think about something for just a minute. Actually, several things. I'm just going to ask you some questions, first of all. And don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. How many of you believe that you have clear direction from God about your future? Just think. Don't raise your hand. Just think. Say, do I right now as I sit here? October 3rd, 2024. Do I have clear direction from God about my... I'm not talking about I know who I'm supposed to marry and I know how many kids I'm going to have and I know where I'm going to live. I'm talking about you believe that you are right now in the center of God's will for your life and God's plan and you have some direction, idea. And here's the thing. What I have learned for myself and in working with people, is the people that are pretty confident about having that direction are the people that want it and search for it with all their heart. The people that are confident about where they are and what they're doing, it's because they've searched for God's will. They've sought God's direction, and they believe they're doing exactly what God would have them to do. Second question, and this is important, because I believe this is where we miss it sometimes. Do you believe, Do you believe for you that God has a specific plan for your life? Do you really believe that? That God has a very specific plan for your life. He created you with a purpose and a plan in mind. Because we'll only search for it if we believe that it's there. Right? If I gave you a treasure map and told you, hey, if you follow this map, you can find this hidden treasure and it's millions of dollars. The only way, you might look around a little bit and be like, yeah, okay, you know, well, sure, okay, I'll humor you for a little bit. But if you really believe that that treasure is there, you're going to search for it with all your heart. If you really believe that God has a plan for your life, a specific purpose in mind for you, you're going to search for it with all your heart. The reason we don't search for it oftentimes is because we don't really believe it. We don't really believe it. I asked you, do you believe that God has a plan for your life? My last question is this. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? And if not, do you want to? A lot of us don't know because we don't really want to know. Because if we know what God's plan is for our life and we don't do it, well, that's disobedience. And we know that. If I ask God what he wants me to do, Brother King, he might call me to, yeah, he might. He might. But also understand that if he does, that's exactly where he's going to protect and bless and provide for you because that's his plan. Most Christians go through their entire life trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, and they are the square peg because they're not committed to really searching for God's plan for their life. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's all stand. How badly do you want to know God's plan for your life? Some of you maybe have been here at chapel, at college, for 2 or 3 years and have never walked an aisle and knelt at an altar and yielded yourself to God. Oh, young people, you don't know what you're missing. It's the best life in the whole world. God, would you show me your plan? And God, would you be willing to say, young person, God, if you'll show me, I promise whatever it is, with your help, I'll do it. I might not, Joshua didn't feel capable. Joshua was afraid. He was frightened of what God might have for him or even the things that he knew that God had for him. But God said, I'll take care of you if you just trust me. Lord, would you bless this invitation time? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.